Vulture expert Andre Buerter wasn't part of the study, but he's manager of the Vultures for Africa program at the Endangered Wildlife Trust. Andre, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Good to talk to you.
So they do carry pathogens that might be dangerous to humans, but they don't seem to disperse them.
No, I think, there are lots of statements made around that, and I think that what the study has shown is that sometimes people do make statements about the role that vultures play that are in some ways an overstatement, but also that tends to ignore the more complex situation that one is faced when you're dealing with an animal that is performing an incredibly important ecosystem service by cleaning up carcasses in the environment. Yes, of course, they are exposed to a range of possible diseases, and one needs to look at what their role is, and that's sort of what that study is part of a far bigger focus that has sort of come about in the last 3-4 years now, where we are looking and that's sort of recommended that we sort of start quantifying more clearly what the ecosystem services that vultures provide, what the role is that they play in the biology of a range of diseases, and what the potential impacts of that is. I mean, the fact that vultures do play a role in that, I think there's no denying that in some cases they are very effective at limiting the spread of certain diseases. But then in others, when you look at the biology of that certain disease, they can play a role in probably carrying some of those pathogens around, spreading them. But so do a lot of other species and also a lot of other natural phenomena. I mean, if you think about air movements and so on, a lot of these viruses and bacteria are so light that they get spread by that. So it's not to say that they are really major culprits. I think one needs to just look at that and put it in context. Mm.
Can we have a look at some of the diseases that they are reasonably effective in controlling the spread of?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, there's a lot said, but not a lot of quantitative data around that. And that's one of the aspects that we, from the vulture specialist of the IUCN, has started promoting is that researchers look into this in a lot more depth. And one of the studies that I was personally involved in and engaged in was sort of looking at the potential role that vultures play in anthrax, in either limiting the disease or, what other role they could potentially play. And it basically came down to the size of the carcasses that they feed on. If it is a diseased carcass, for instance, affected by anthrax, and if people are familiar with the way anthrax works, the moment, an animal that dies from anthrax is obviously filled with bacteria. And the moment those bacteria are exposed to the air, they start spirating. So if vultures feed on a carcass and it's a medium to small sized carcass and there are sufficient numbers of vultures, they can effectively clean up that carcass without that spiration occurring. So they can effectively stop the disease at smaller carcasses. But if you have an elephant that dies from anthrax, and it takes 100, 200 vultures 2-3 days to clean up a carcass like that, it's inevitable that spiration will occur and that some of those spores will end up on these birds. And we know that they do travel extensive distances. So there is a good chance that some of these spores might be transferred then, across a fairly wide range. But it doesn't mean, if you understand what anthrax is and those spores can lie dormant for over 100 years, that they will necessarily result in the immediate outbreak of disease elsewhere. It's one of those aspects that I think, in terms of some of these other diseases, that we certainly need to look at in a lot more detail.
One of the theories about the mass, relatively sizable, fairly sudden deaths of a large number of elephants in Botswana recently, one of the theories was anthrax. I don't think that's come back with any kind of scientific evidence through the testing that's been done. But one thing that's been written a lot and said about that is that what was odd was that vultures didn't feed on these elephants, which for me prompts the question whether vultures are able to sense that carrion harbors a pathogen which is potentially harmful to them and therefore stay away.
I wish that was the case, John, because then, if you look at the mass mortalities that we've been seeing, especially in Southern Africa in the last 5 years,
they don't sense the poison.
Intentionally poisoned carcasses, then, vultures would simply avoid that. And it is unfortunately not the case. But I think, the situation with elephant very often, because they are thick-skinned animals, so if they die, and unless there are mammalian scavengers and predators that can open up a carcass like that, it can lie there and start decomposing, and vultures simply can't get to the bulk of that carcass. And I think that's maybe one of the factors there. And simply the fact that, you know, such a large number of vultures have died, and we know that vultures have declined in that part of Botswana due to the poisoning incidents that have taken place. Some people might remember the incident last year just south of the Joby, where more than 500 vultures were killed in a single incident due to poisoning by poachers and so on. Those declines could also be one of the reasons why there weren't those large numbers of birds present. And the other is simply that the birds couldn't access the carcasses and feed on them. And that's one of the reasons why the mortalities were relatively low. But again, you know, I don't want to start discussing that case per se, because I think the jury is still out on what the cause of that is. But it certainly doesn't seem from the evidence. And I was sort of consulted around that. And I think many of us that sort of work with this sort of thing are pretty sure that deliberate poisoning by humans was not part of it. You know, all of the diseases that they've assessed and tested for so far have proven negative. So there are a few other options that are still outstanding. And I think the best would be to just wait for the results of those tests to then either confirm what the situation was. But, you know, I think the suspicion at the moment largely focuses on a naturally occurring pathogen in the form potentially of something like cyanobacteria in the water that's, you know, rapidly drying up now at this time of the year, with algal blooms taking place, and some of those could potentially be toxic to animals. So that could be one of those. But, yeah, I mean, I think it is possibly a sign that, you know, the decline of vultures in southern Africa is sadly expressed in the fact that so few of them were affected by it.
André Botha, thank you very, very much. Vulture expert, manager of Vultures for Africa program at the Endangered Wildlife Trust.